Okay, here we go. Parsha Vayetzeh, in Perkuf Tet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says that when Yaakov comes to the well, and there are shepherds gathered around it, and so he asks them, do you know where Laban is, where his house is, where I'm supposed to go? And they start telling him, and they say, hey, actually his daughter's on her way here. Rachel comes by. And it says like this in Yud Aleph, Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel. Yaakov kissed Rachel. And he raised up his voice and he wept. A lot of jokes about why he wept, by the way. Why did he cry? So like one of the jokes is that he realized that he wasn't supposed to kiss her. That he was just overcome by emotion, like, and then he cried.
Rashi says it's because he knew at that moment that they wouldn't be buried together.
Yeah. So that's the first answer Rashi says. Lufisha Tzafa, Ruach HaKodesh, he like had a vision in Ruach HaKodesh when he was kissing her that he would, or maybe before he kissed her, that he would, they would not be buried together. Dabar Acher, alternatively, says Rashi, Lufisha Babi Adaim Rei Kaniyot, meaning that he came empty-handed. He didn't have anything to give her. You know, this beautiful woman doesn't have anything. Right? If you think about it, Eliezer, he had plenty of stuff when he met up, when he met Rivka, he had all sorts of stuff. He had nose rings and gold and all this stuff. And so he said, Eliezer had that, who is the servant of my father's father. The ani in biadi klum, and I don't have anything in my hands. So that was why didn't why was Yaakov penniless? Why didn't he have anything to give her? Because he was running away from home, but he could have had stuff with him. Come on, his father was rich. Could have had stuff. The answer is that Esav's son, Eliphaz, had caught up with him. Right? This is where Rashi brings this down. You might have heard this before. Eliphaz catches up with him, and Yaakov argues his way out of being killed. He says, all you have to do is rob me, because a penniless person, a person who has no money, in halacha is considered, or in hashkafa, I guess, is considered like a dead person. So if you want to fulfill your father's command, if even though it's not in the spirit of it, but at least it's in the letter of the law, you cannot kill me, just take all my money and all my belongings, and I'll be considered like dead. So that's what they ended up doing. Ani chashav kemet. Right? And a poor person is considered like the dead, and therefore he didn't die. So that's why he was penniless, according to Rashi. He has to fit in, you know, a lot of midrash in order for this to make sense, why he was crying. Why was he crying? Shadal actually says that he was crying, b'chia shel simcha. He was so happy to see her. First of all, I mean, he's running away from his brother, and he desperately needs to get to his uncle's house, who can protect him from his brother. Presumably, Esav isn't going to try to kill Lavan, you know, his uncle. So that was a urgent thing. But also, it could be that he was, instantly in love with Rachel. Why is it that he kissed her in the first place? Shadal wants to answer this question. How is it, you know, like in terms of the even in that time where, you know, you'd think they would be even more strict than they are today. So what's going on here? And like, you know, it should seem odd in any generation for this to occur. Unless you're French, maybe. Right? The French just, you know, say hello. They kiss on both cheeks, you know. So what does Shadal say? He says like this. Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel. Nearly, says Shadal. It seems to me. Shahaita na'arak tana. She must have been very young. Like a little kid. Let's say 5 years old, something like that. Ulufika katuv v'taratz v'taged l'avia. And Adal says, that's why it says that she went to her father, right? When Yaakov says, hey, tell your father, or you should know, I am your cousin, I am your father's mother's, sorry, your father's sister's son, you know where she goes? Where does Rachel run to? She runs to tell her father. Now, if she were older, if she was an adult, she would have run to tell her mother. That's what Shadal argues. Why? Because, you know, her mother is the one in charge. But rather, because she's still a young kid, she can go to her father's tent. Right? Lo lebeta ima, come over to Rivka. If you look at how Rivka, what Rivka does when she finds Eliezer, she runs and tells her mother. She doesn't do that. Rachel does not do that here. What does she do? She runs to her father. It must be because she's very young. Kiliyota Since she was so young, she would still be found among the men, meaning it was totally normal for her to be in the men's section of shul and to go to her father and to tell her what's going on instead of her mother. When she got older, that would have been inappropriate. Okay. He notes, there's some problems with my pshat.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is this is a different strata of Shadal's commentary, so it could very well be that this was inserted after he died, because there's, I think, just questions. Pretty sure. Okay, let's see. Hikshetami Adi Yitzchak Klinenberg, I guess. My student Yitzchak asked me this question. She'im haita ketana, if she was young, if she was a katana, eich chashak ba Yaakov. What we find is that Yaakov was in love with her and makes a deal with Lavan that he would work for 7 years and then get Rachel. If she was, like, let's say 6 years old, let's say 7 years old, it's still not that great. And also, what, he fell in love with her and she's 7 years old? You haven't really solved, you've brought up one question, you know, to solve another. You're like, oh, how can he kiss her? It must be she was very young. But you've just made her, like, 7 years old when Yaakov falls in love with her.
It says that Rachel is beautiful and that, like, Leah was.
Right, and what would it mean for, like, you know, 5-year-olds or 7-year-olds or whatever, 10-year-olds even, to be beautiful? Like, you know, that's not the right language to use there. So how is it that he desired her? Ubikesh lekachta lo leisha, and that he wanted to make her his wife. That he was like, okay, I'll do it for 7 years, but that wasn't the original plan. He didn't want that to be a 7-year servitude in order to get Rachel. He would have rather he got married to her immediately, it sounds like, from the psukim. So that's his question. It can't be a young kid. And, you know, my proof that it must be she was very young because she was still allowed to go to her father to tell her the news. Heshiv Shabtai and Kona, my student Shabtai, responded to me. He said, Kimachashi Yaakov Amarla, Kiachia Aviyahu. Since Yaakov had told her that he is related to her father, why would she go to her mother? It makes more sense to go to her father, because you just told me, oh, it's your father's my uncle. Why would she go to the mother? She would go to the father. That's the reason why he goes to her father. And also, even despite this, the Ramban says that she was a katana, so Shadal has at least the Ramban to fall back on. However, Ancona does note, first of all, his student, right, that he notes that the Ramban definitely does believe she was a katana, and maybe one of the proofs for this is the fact that Yaakov was willing to wait 7 years. But it doesn't really answer, you know, a lot of the questions. And, okay, I get it. Yaakov was willing to wait 7 years. Maybe that means that she was younger. But to say she was a katana, like, really? You know, it's a little bit difficult. And basically, it seems like Shadal leaves a lot of balls up in the air. Like, exactly what do we believe? How old was she? Who's correct in their interpretation? And, you know, what does this teach us? Like, what's the lesson? Yaakov goes and kisses her because she's young. And also, what's the purpose of telling us this at all? It seems to me that immediately Yaakov was in love with her. And there's, you know, the Torah makes this very clear in a lot of different ways. So, for example, in Yitzchak it says, "Vayehav Yaakov et Rachel." Yaakov loved Rachel, and apparently he had just met her, right? Vayomer, so he made a deal that I'm willing to serve for 7 years in order to get Rachel, right? Okay. So I think that, like, you know, there's indications here, so overwhelmed by emotion and love, that, you know, this is a tale of love at first sight, before the romantic period, before medieval, like, knighthood and chivalry. You know, this is a tale older than time of romantic love between two people, love at first sight. And so, yeah, it's a little weird to find in the Torah that Yaakov kisses Rachel. But it was, like, so overwhelming. He was so overwhelmed by the love, you know, and he's, like, not, and he's also, you know, very relieved to find somebody who, you know, to love. That I think there might be something there in terms of the Torah is speaking to a timeless need of two people who fall in love. And sometimes, you know, when you meet that person, you'll look back and try to remember, when was the first time I fell in love with them? Where was that moment? And a lot of people will say, like, it was the moment I saw them. It was the or it was after the first date I knew. You know, that kind of thing is very common language. And when you watch movies and, you know, romantic movies where people, like, see each other across the room, it's, like, in our language. And really, I think it starts with Yaakov and Rachel, which I think is not a, you know, that he kisses her and it's weird, but rather it's just like an overwhelming feeling of love. That's the indication that we get here. I don't know. All right, here we'll stop.